So in this video, we are now fast approaching the end of section 4 of the course, and you'll hopefully be also glad to hear that pretty much all the tough, really self-reflective stuff is just about over now, alright? We wanted to get all the tough stuff out of the way first and foremost, so that all the rest of the sections are just going to seem quite practical to you as a new aspiring life coach. I would like to share with you a really interesting story, and this was an experience that I had recently, actually, with a man who I was coaching. Now, this man was the CEO of a top software company here in the United Kingdom. And this guy here, he manages a budget of something like 250 million each year. He's got hundreds and hundreds of different employees under him. Many of them have hundreds of employees under them. And what you could say is the man is passionate about software. He loves all things technical and web development. He's a bit of a geek, to be honest with you, but he loves this stuff, right? There's no real job that he would rather be doing. But he came to me for life coaching. He came to me and he said, "Kane, I feel like I'm kind of stuck between a bit of a rock and a hard place. Like I like my role, I love what I do, but I kind of feel like I've hit a bit of a glass ceiling. It's like, you know, I feel like I should be doing something. I feel like I should be moving up or going somewhere, but there's nowhere for me to go. I'm the CEO. I am the top of the food chain." And as soon as he said to me, "A glass ceiling," I knew exactly what he meant, all right? I'd been here before, having worked with a couple of CEOs and high flyers and industry leaders over the years. I knew what his issue was, and it reminded me of the good enough principle. So as the conversation unfolded, I asked him to give me a little bit of his backstory, to tell me what it was that had really driven him to get to where he was today, because the guy was highly driven, very proactive man. And he said that he'd gotten into software development around about 20, 25 years ago, pretty much at the same sort of time as the start of the internet, right? I think he used to dabble in making some of the old computer games for like the Commodore 64 and stuff like this. So the guy was quite considerably older than me. And he said when the internet started opening up, it just opened up for me a whole world of opportunity. And he had worked with a guy who'd worked with Bill Gates and all this kind of thing. And he said that here in the UK, he just saw opportunity everywhere. So he ended up plugging in and working with this new startup software company. And he just worked hard. He just done his best every day when he got there. And one day, his manager came along and, you know, took him for a coffee and said, "Listen, I'm, you know, very, very impressed with your caliber of work. I'm just wondering if you would like a promotion." Now, he was about sort of 19 years old by now. And he said, "Promotion, absolutely. Does it come with a pay rise?" He got his pay rise, got his promotion. And I asked him to just stop there for a second and reflect upon what this actually meant for him, this actual experience. And he said, "Well, the first time I got promoted, it was kind of like really validating." He said that he hadn't really done so well in his school exams, and he didn't really want to go and get one of the conventional jobs that many of his friends were getting at the time. So when he got this first promotion, it was like a real sense of personal validation, kind of like he was on the right path, kind of like he'd made the right decision, kind of like he was really starting to move forward and progress in life. So from there, he said it was about 3 or 4 years later, the software company he was working for ended up getting bought out by another larger software company. So Big Fish ate Little Fish. And now one of the directors of the Big Fish company approached him and said, "Yes, you know, we would like to enter into a new contract with you and have you to come across and manage this whole team, if you'd be willing to do that, manage this small division that we have going on." So from there, you know, he was absolutely overjoyed. He went for it again. And I asked him, I said, "So what did this kind of promotion, being handpicked like this, what did this give you?" And he said, "Well, again, it was kind of like this personal validation. It was kind of like I was good enough to get picked. There was lots of people who didn't get picked who got left behind, but they kept on choosing me." And then he went on to pretty much give me the lowdown showdown of the next 15 years. And he said that he got promoted after promoted, and then there was another merger, another company buyout, and it brought him to today where he was pretty much the head of the food chain. And I said, "You know, what was it that really drove you to remain committed to this industry?" And he said, "Because I kept on getting picked." You know, they kept on picking me. They kept on choosing me. It was like I was there was always room to move up and grow and develop. And every time I got picked, it was like a little personal win, a personal success. And I said, that's absolutely fantastic. So let's come back to this glass ceiling now. You know, how does this glass ceiling relate to the role or the rank that you're currently fulfilling? And he said, Oh, the glass ceiling, there's nowhere else for me to go. I can't get promoted anymore. And I said, that's fantastic. So what does this mean about you? And he sighed and his head went down. And I said, respond to me quickly, quickly, right now. Tell me what this means. And he said, I don't feel like I've got there yet. I don't feel like I've really fulfilled my full potential. I really don't feel like I've stretched myself enough yet. And I said, you don't feel like you've stretched yourself enough, or you don't feel like you are enough. And the fully grown man, a tear came to his eye, and he said, oh, maybe there's something in that. Maybe there's something in that. It's kind of like I've always been driven by moving up the food chain, and now there's nowhere else to go. Maybe this is my glass ceiling. And as the coaching sessions unfolded, you know, I ended up looking at his limiting beliefs, and we looked at how he processes his thoughts and his day-to-day events. And when I took him through the core identity coaching model, it was kind of like this veil lifted from his eyes. And he said, it's kind of like for the first time of my life, I can see. And I said, that's great. What can you see? And he said, I have been working the last 30 years just for approval for other people. And I said, and why is it that you would commit pretty much 30 years of your life to getting approved of by other people? And he said, because I never fundamentally just approved of myself. Oh, interesting. I'm sure there's going to be some people watching this video right now who can relate on some level. So this is the good enough principle, all right? This gives us a little bit of context. There's going to be one of two ways of looking at life, one of two foundations we're going to be basing our lives upon. On the idea that we are enough, who we are is suffice, we're not perfect, we are imperfect, but we're fundamentally good enough. Or we're going to be building and basing our lives upon this idea, this notion, this belief that who we are is not good enough. All right, now, I want to show you what tends to happen when we're building and basing our life upon this bad boy, this idea here. When we generally don't feel like we are suffice or enough within ourselves, it's more often than not because we haven't yet defined ourselves or taken full ownership of who we actually are at the core. But it leads us in this, you know, to this place in life where we end up looking to other people for validation, for approval. We want to win, we want to succeed, we want to achieve. And it's kind of like we can sometimes end up desperately just trying to get the stage in life where we're going to feel like we're there, kind of like we're good enough, kind of like we've done enough, we have made it, kind of like we are okay in this place. And if you've ever heard a person say, when I get there, life will be better. When I get there, once I've accomplished this, life will be better. When I have accomplished that, once I have done this, life will be better. Once I've done this, what they're talking about is what they, you know, unconsciously think they're going to get once they've accomplished this thing or once they have reached this stage of life. If you think about it, what is it that we all secretly want pretty much more than anything else in life? We want to be approved of. We want to be unconditionally accepted. We want to be known for who we actually are. And isn't it just the case that many of us try on so many levels to earn our acceptance, to earn being approved of? And unfortunately, many people learn this in the family home. When parents say, if you tidy your room, you know, I'll be proud of you. You know, if you get good school results, I'll be happy with you. And it's not that parents are bad, they're just doing the best that they can, but more often than not, sometimes doing more damage than good. I know I certainly experienced this growing up in my own family home, as I was, you know, commonly compared to my little sister, all right? Imagine what that does for a young man's confidence when he's told by his parents that, you know, your sister gets better school grades than you, right? You haven't quite made the grade this year, all right? Hopefully next year you'll be good enough. And then we have a few more failures and a few more letdowns in life. And these are the stories that we tell ourselves. We're talking about the limiting beliefs here, that we're not good enough, we're not smart enough, we're not skilled enough, we're not articulate enough, we're not good looking enough. Have you ever wondered why it is that some people refuse to grow old gracefully? Look at some of the glamour models, the supermodels, the movie stars. All right, I shall name no names. And they are getting old. They're in their 40s or the 50s or the 60s, some of them even in their 70s. And you can just see their skin's like this, totally stretched, and their lips are kind of out here, and they've had all sorts of physical enhancements made in their physical bodies. Why? Because they're getting older and they're petrified of not being good looking enough anymore. Like, they're not who they were, or they're not looking how they used to look back in the heyday. And this is a trap that many people fall into in life. And this is very much to do with what we believe about ourselves. We are either enough and suffice within ourselves, which is something we will be saying once we have made peace with ourselves and our flaws and imperfections. But when we haven't, all right, we're going to 9 times out of 10 struggle to believe that we're ever going to make the grade. And this is where many people would say that it feels like they've come up against a glass ceiling in life. There's something that's stopping them from getting from where they are to where they want to be, but they just don't know what it is, all right? And it's not like there actually is anything tangible or actual holding them back. It's just a limiting belief, kind of like the noose that the elephant has around its neck that keeps it, attached to the peg. We know when the little elephant becomes big elephant, we know it's physically strong enough to break free from the peg, but it doesn't think that it is, therefore it don't move, all right? And the same kind of applies here. When we feel or believe that we're not good enough or not suffice in some aspect of life, of course, because we want to be approved of and loved and unconditionally accepted, we are going to do everything within our power, right, to fundamentally get approved. So what I'm going to suggest is that, working from the bottom up, coming from this place of not being suffice, not being adequate, not being enough, it leaves us in this place of striving where, some people will end up in jobs that they hate for a lifetime. Some people will remain in jobs that they enjoy or love, but perhaps might not even, or not quite, might be the main thing. They might love a job that they're doing, but they might not be passionate about it, So what I'm saying is, that it's very, very difficult to find the personal freedom and liberation that we really want in life when operating out of a limiting belief of this nature, all right? But now see what happens when we start operating out of our core identity, all right? Okay, so I'm a loving person, I'm caring, I'm giving, I'm generous, I'm integral, I'm sincere, I'm passionate, I'm creative, I am giving, I'm all of these things, and a hell of a lot more. Am I perfectly being these things all of the time? No, I'm not. I'm imperfectly being all these things all of the time, which therefore then means that I have room and space to grow and become better. And look at the difference here, right? One attitude and one outlook on life is we're striving to just reach this place of being good enough. And what happens when we fail? Well, when we fail, when we don't reach this benchmark of being good enough or being accepted, this just validates this limiting, unhelpful belief that we have that we're not good enough, and this hurts. But when we're standing on the good enough line, who I am is suffice, there's no one in the world who can add anything to me or take anything away from who I am, because who I am is a constant. I can only grow. I can't become less caring. I can't become less giving. I can't become less generous or less integral. I might forget to be loving or giving or integral sometimes because I'm imperfect, but I sure as hell aren't going to beat myself up for that kind of stuff, all right? Because it's who I am. Nothing can be taken away from me on this level. It sets us free every single day just to simply be better. All right. And just take a few moments to consider the opportunity that this presents to you and for you. What does this mean for you? Could you imagine living out the rest of your days not worrying about whether you're going to meet the grade or not anymore, but instead just having a set of foundations underneath your feet that simply mean No one can take anything away from who you are. Even if you fail, even if you fall flat on your face, it doesn't mean anything about who you are. It might mean that you need to develop some skills, or you might to improve or increase or enhance yourself in some areas, but you certainly don't need to change anything about who you are, because who you are is a constant. And when we're operating from this place, from this mindset in life, we do become free and liberated in our thinking, just to simply choose to commit to a lifestyle of being better rather than trying to be good enough. This is the good enough principle, all right? Wrestle with this one. Try it on, all right? See if you can identify the foundations that you've historically been building your life on. Are you grounded in I'm not enough, desperately trying to be better? Or have you been grounded in I am enough, and I'm just choosing to be better? Because one comes with a whole load of stress and tension and angst, and the other one just comes with a whole load of inner peace and all the other things like that. So that's it. Good enough is just enough. It certainly doesn't have to be perfect. Listen, there is a workbook that we've created that we've built into the additional materials section of this lecture. I'm going to urge you to download it, print it off, spend 5 to 10 minutes working through it, and I'll look forward to seeing you again in the next clip.